everything's bigger and brighter, especially our passion for special education. As always, a warm welcome to our listeners.
We are your statewide special education liaison team, here to elevate the conversation one story at a time.
Our mission? Not just to share, but to connect, representing the special education community across our state. We are here to say,
Texas may be big, but its heart and stories are even bigger.
Join us on this journey together. Let's celebrate.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to another episode of Sped Talk. We're here today out in Big Country in Merkel, just outside of Abilene. I'm Evan, here today with Jen and Molly and Monica, and with Patty Garcia, who is a member of our team and the special education liaison in Region 14. And Patty was able to connect us with someone to interview today. So Patty, why don't you introduce your guests and y'all tell us a little bit about why we're here and what we're talking about.
Thanks, Evan. So I am so excited to share or to introduce you guys. I will let Corinne Young, the principal of Merkel Middle School campus, share her story. But I'm really excited, and I hope that y'all find benefit in listening to this podcast. I think it's a story worth telling. I don't think it's unique with the problems that they have faced. So I hope it's a benefit to those educators that are listening, the parents, liaisons across the state too. We'll see a benefit to the story. It's a heartfelt story, but there's also, I'm sure Corinne will share some lessons learned and then how they continue the work. So I will just share a little bit about how I came to Merkel Middle School. So I have worked here in the past, and I came to visit Merkel Middle School last year with our behavior consultant, Angie Thomas, from our service center at Region 14. And I got to see the school climate at that point. And there had been a change, an extreme change from when I first started back 20 years ago and had been out here as a school psychologist to that point even. And it just keeps getting better, I will say that. Just the culture, you enter the campus and you just feel the difference. It is a family here. People see it as a family. And so I'm not gonna take your thunder, Corinne, because I want you to share your story. But I know that there was a system change and it started with PBIS and it started with culture and climate. So do you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Sure. Thank you for having me today. So we started, this is my seventh year at Merkel Middle School. I started as an assistant principal my first year. I had been a principal in other districts before, but coming into the middle school as an assistant principal, one of the first things that stood out to me, this is my husband's hometown, and we moved here for family. And as I was out and about and so excited about being in Merkel, I quickly started hearing things from the community such as, oh, you're going to the middle school, as if that were going to be a negative thing. And so in being here, I, as an assistant principal, I had the opportunity to make some observations and just see why people would have that kind of perception of the middle school. I read things on the social media community page, and, you know, it was just a very negative mindset about our campus, and it made me sad. When I got here and got to be in classrooms and in the hallways with our kids, I realized how great our kids were, so I didn't feel like that was the problem. However, what I found out was that we had had consistent administration turnover, and so I was the assistant principal that first year and kind of had an opportunity to do some observations and see what was going on. That principal that year was new to our campus as well. He stayed 1 year and moved on. I then stepped into that role the next year. And when I did, I was the sixth principal in 6 years in that position. And so in visiting with teachers and students, you know, I was shocked at how many students that first year that I was the head principal would come to me and say, oh my goodness, you're back, as if they were surprised, because that just wasn't something they were used to. They're only on this campus for 3 years, and none of them had had an administrator 2 years in a row at that point. So being able to come back and let them see that, you know, I was going to see them through and I wasn't going to run off, I think helped a lot. But there was just a sense of abandonment from staff, from students. You know, one of our teachers had said to a service center member or staff member that their question was, what's wrong with us? Why do we have so much admin turnover? What's wrong with us? And so when I heard that, it broke my heart. And I wanted our kids to have better and our kids to have a system that no matter who was sitting in that seat, there was some type of consistency. And so I reached out to Angie Thomas at the service center and just said, hey, what ideas do you have? Help me out here. Help me turn this thing around. And so we started the process at that point. We started with identifying some of the issues that we saw on campus. We were having a tremendous number of discipline referrals, discipline issues on campus, sometimes rather large ones. We had high staff turnover, not just in the admin role, but in general, there were high staff turnover rates. We had low staff morale, low student morale, just a negative perception from the community in general. And so we had a big task. And that's when we really started our process.
Let me ask you about that. So you start your journey in a place as an assistant principal, and you hear some stuff, and the next thing you know, you're the head principal. What was that aha moment as the principal that things have to change? We have to implement something different to turn this thing around.
I think, to be honest with you, it was just seeing the low staff morale, hearing those conversations. And I called Angie Thomas at one point and said, you know, we either have to figure out how to turn this around, or I'm going to be another one of those numbers just rotating through here. It's just a difficult environment to be a part of when you can't see that light at the end of the tunnel. So I think that was that moment for me where you either fix it or you're just another part of the problem.
When you talk about the turnover, you said you had high turnover. And I know that you've worked hard in making those adjustments. What was your turnover rate that first year compared to what your turnover rate is now?
Our first year, our turnover, we had 11 staff members leave. So 73% retention rate. And just this past year, we had 3 teachers leave. And I have to clarify, one of those 3 actually was just promoted to head band director from assistant. So he's still included in those 3, but our rate of retention was 93%. So a 20% increase in retention.
Definitely a change in the morale from when you started to this past school year.
Absolutely.
And so the process that you've implemented and the steps that you've had to take with that aha moment, tell us a little bit about that process that's been taking place and the program that you've used to make that systemic change.
Sure. So the first thing that we did in beginning the process was to survey the staff. And to be completely honest with you, at that point, that was, you know, you ask yourself, are we doing the right thing here? Because the staff survey was pretty rough. A question like, when it comes to behavior and discipline, what is working well in this school? When a teacher responds and says nothing, students are running the school, that's really hard to read.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I do not see much at work. Or, that's a good question. Yeah, that's not the kind of response that you're looking for as the leader of a campus.
Right.
Corinne, who helped you, or where did those questions come up? Did you come up with them by yourself, get some help crafting those? When you want to get feedback, how do you create that survey?
So as part of this process, Angie Thomas actually helped connect us with a resource to an outside source, to where I have no way of knowing who said those answers. We had very few staff members participate in that survey, which was one of our challenges, but also demonstrated kind of that lack of trust that they had at that point. There were answers in there of things like, they say this is anonymous, but some people aren't going to believe that and won't respond because of it. And so just that feeling of abandonment and that lack of trust in the system really revealed itself through that process. But it truly was an anonymous survey through a third party that Angie was able to connect us with.
Karen, and I'm thinking about how vulnerable you had to be to, number one, hear the truth of what is the perception out there. But then how did you share that back with your staff? How did you be transparent with them and let them know this is what we're hearing so they know that another step is coming?
Sure. So the next step in that process was to establish a leadership team on campus, which we tried to make a wide range of participation in that from, you know, our 30-year veteran to our second-year teacher and just, you know, variety of personalities, all grade levels represented, just a wide representation. And so in establishing that team at our very first meeting, the actual survey data was shared with the team in the same form that we received it, where you can't tell who answered what, but they read it. And so that was really difficult to sit in the room while they're reading what maybe some of them or their colleagues wrote, some of it specifically and personally about my assistant principal at the time and me. It was a very difficult and heavy conversation at that time. And so to see, you know, their reactions to that, it was really exciting when their conversation started to be, how do we work together to fix this as well?
So one of those barriers is staff turnover. You made a survey to try to gauge what were the other issues. So what were a couple of the problems that y'all had to overcome aside from the turnover that you've already talked about?
One of them, I think, was just teacher buy-in. When you've had that many different systems roll through and, okay, this admin will be here a year or two and then they're on to the next thing as well. How do I know this is the actual thing that's going to last for the longevity of the campus? And so that was definitely our largest barrier from the very beginning, just trying to get all teachers on board and being intentional about who was placed on the team, who could go back and bring the rest of the campus on board. And then I would say just the perception of the middle school in the community, whether that was from past experiences with parents who maybe their older children had already been through and had a negative experience with our campus, or, you know, the typical thing that you see on any campus where maybe they just had a bad experience when they were in middle school 30 years ago. So just that perception of what's different, you know, we know our middle school is not where it needs to be. So why would we expect it to be different?
And I've been a middle school principal, so I know what that's like. But for our listeners, what were the things that the community was saying wasn't right? What did y'all discover in looking at data or doing surveys that were the things that needed to be changed so that you could change the culture, so that you could retain staff? What were the things that you said, this is what we need to address when we make changes?
Sure. I think one of the main things for us was discipline. The discipline issues that we had sometimes would be pretty big ones that the news was ready to jump on and report, and they didn't know about the 220 other students who were doing the right thing. They only knew about the one who made it onto the news story. And so things like that would spill, and with social media, just turn into a large conversation about how, you know, everyone in the school must be bad. It all must be just completely chaotic because one child ended up in legal trouble. It also, bullying is always a hot topic and a word that we like to toss around. And so certainly that's something we take very seriously, but sometimes we have situations where we run into the perception from the community of not knowing the actual definition of what that looks like in the school. That was a challenge for us. So things like that would run rampant when one person would post about that on social media, then all of a sudden that was a large thing as well. So that was where we felt like it was just important to build some trust back with our community, because it felt like they weren't trusting that we were going to address a situation that was thrown out there.
Yeah.
Corinne, you mentioned trust, and that what I, from my observation, what I've seen out here is that, that was huge, that building of the trust, but not just with the community. I feel like students now also trust. So it was like a rippling effect, right? The teachers trust you.
Yes.
You have trust in that power team. And one thing that you're not complimenting yourself enough, but I do see that teachers do find power in how you share your leadership role with the power team, and that system change of using PBIS and how you do business. When I've come out here with Angie and interviewed students and asked them, what are the expectations in the hall? What are the expectations in the classroom? Whether they are able to tell me exactly what they are, they're doing those expectations. That's how they're doing business. Can you talk a little bit about the relationships that students have had amongst each other and with teachers, your house groups, that sort of thing?
Sure. So our house group implementation has been one of our biggest culture builders for our students. And we began that process and kind of took the idea we had heard from many districts, and they had all implemented this concept of building a family group on campus. And we just kind of took bits and pieces of everyone's system and made something that we felt like was unique to Merkle Middle School, but fitting for our campus and our situation. So we grouped our students into about groups of about 12 to 13, and we assigned them to a teacher, and that teacher was assigned to go make these students the citizens that we want them to be down the road. We'll focus on the academics later, but let's focus on teaching them to make the right choices and talking through consequences of our actions. And most of all, just making them feel like they have a place to belong. So we did community building activities in there. We did community service projects within those groups. We had our teachers monitor grades and, you know, check in on their students who may not be turning things in. We talked to our students about talking with other students in their group who maybe weren't coming to school. So we built in some attendance incentives and competitions within groups and just tried to really focus on making every student feel like they were a part of a team or a family on our campus, and not just those who were actively involved in an activity, which of course we always want them to do that. But those were the ones that we really felt like we were missing.
I want to reiterate what you said about we decided to focus on the discipline and the behavior and not academics at this point. Can you emphasize that a little bit? I mean, why did you go that direction? What was the importance there?
Well, I felt like the culture of the campus was going to drive the rest. And it's just like, you know, the old saying that we tell our teachers all the time, that they're not going to care how much you know until they know how much you care. It was very much that situation for us, to where we felt like they needed to see us as humans. We needed, as a staff, to want to come to school and be here, because our kids could sense that. And so we felt like addressing that culture building side would help us with the discipline. And the discipline was actually driving a lot of our low staff morale, and really looking into those survey answers and talking to staff. It was almost all of them would say discipline was the thing that made them not want to be here. And so we felt like getting those teachers to have the buy-in to want to be at school every day was going to be more important than anything else. And so in time, the academics came with that.
Okay. To build a little bit on what Patty said now, You had to take the time to build a trust with the kids. You had to build that trust between the students and the teachers. What did it take for you to build that trust with the teachers? What was that piece that finally got the teacher saying, okay, she's not going anywhere. She's here to stay. Maybe she's the real deal. This is what we need to start looking forward to. What was that process like?
You know, I think the high turnover rate is such a tricky thing, because in time, to be honest with you, some of that is through hiring. You're hiring people and talking to them about their vision for a campus, and their vision tends to line up more with yours as you make hires. Now, some of those positions were just kind of a revolving door, and that still continued to be a challenge for us. But I think getting that core power team all on the same page, even within that team, and that's probably a barrier I should have mentioned earlier, many of our power team members even turn over within that time. And so that was definitely one of our barriers, was that change within our leadership team. And so being able to keep the consistent expectations and train up new ones as we put someone else in was definitely something we had to work through as well. But I think getting the power team on board to where, whether you're bringing in a new teacher and they're talking to a new teacher and saying, hey, this is how we do things here. Now you're a part of us. This is how we do it. I think that helps build the trust. And then also with our other staff members who maybe were not on board with the ideas at first, having those power team members able to say, well, this is what, you know, we're talking about, or this is the reason that we're making this decision, and turning over a lot of those kind of high importance decisions to the leadership team and not making it just a mandate for myself.
All right. You've used the term power team.
Thank you.
What I really want you to tell the people listening is, how did you get from "we have a problem" to "we are solving our problem"?
Sure.
Well, what did you decide to use? What resources, tools? What is a power team? Tell us that story of how did that come into being?
Sure. So our leadership team that we put together that I mentioned earlier, we needed a name for them. And so at our first meeting, ironically of all things, my assistant principal and I were dealing with a pretty major discipline issue at the time that that meeting was scheduled. And so we were late to the meeting, which I certainly don't recommend or try to ever do, but it happened. So we walk into the meeting about 10 minutes late, and up on the board is the word POWER, and it's an acronym. And we walk in, we say, hey guys, you know, we need to get started. Sorry, we're late. And they said, well, we knew we were supposed to name the team today, so we came up with POWER. We assigned some letters to go with that. We're calling it Positive Ownership with Equitable Responsibility. What else is on the agenda for today? And at that point, I mean, it was a mic drop moment. That's all we were going to focus on for that meeting. And so when I say the power team, and you know, this is their work and their change, it truly is. They took the lead on it. They made it something that they owned and belonged or felt a part of from the very beginning. And they really took the lead. They modeled that ownership that they were wanting their students to take ownership of their own actions.
You gave the power to the people to make some decisions. What kind of parameters were there? In other words, did you have this a core set of beliefs, a curriculum? Were there some pillars there that you said, we're going to follow this? Tell me a little bit about it.
Absolutely. So this is where Angie Thomas was such a huge resource for us. She came in and did some trainings. So we started this process in January of that first year that I was the principal, and then didn't roll it out to our staff until that summer for the following year. And so through that semester, there were multiple days where we did trainings with Angie Thomas, and she would bring in, you know, curriculum, and then we would have assignments that went along with it. And some of those assignments were setting our core beliefs, setting some guidance for what our meetings would look like. You know, we assigned roles, all of those things that we expect our kids to do when they're in our classroom. We did all of those things within our group. And throughout the process, we've maintained those roles. And, you know, if someone is leaving the district and no longer on the team, then we bring someone else in and we do the same training components with them to get them up to speed on where we were and where we are.
What were you looking for when you had to pick members from your staff to be able to be a part of this team? What were some things that you were looking for to be able to make that influence for others? I mean, what were some of those characteristics that said, oh, you know what, that's a person that I'm going to need on my team because...
That was a really neat part of the process for me, because I did get to put together the strengths of different people on campus. So I was looking for those who are going to be natural leaders and have people come along with them, whether at that time, you know, they were on board with trying to make a change or they weren't, but just giving them a voice in the process. We wanted some people who, you know, were already doing great things in their classroom and pushing kids as well as they could within their parameters of their classroom. And then we wanted those who, you know, we felt needed maybe that kind of positive push to get them to that point where they were ready to make those same differences on campus. And just tried to have a variety of personalities along the way to where every member of our staff could feel heard through one of those people on the team, at least.
You just used a phrase, positive push. I didn't hear you use this acronym early. Patty used PBIS. Would you say that your partnership with the service center with Angie led you to say, we need to implement a positive behavior system, whether it's PBIS or something else, or?
Yes. So I really am not sure exactly how we arrived at the decision that this was the perfect system for us, but we just kind of went through that process of, you know, here are the problems. One of the advantages we had was that my first year as an assistant principal, Angie Thomas was actually our curriculum consultant for our campus. And so she, while I had that opportunity to kind of observe and watch from a distance for a year before actually making any changes, she kind of had that same opportunity in the curriculum consultant role as, you know, she was a great sounding board for me of, hey, these are the struggles that I'm having in trying to coach teachers or trying to address behaviors this week. And we were able to work through some things before we were ready to actually jump into a system. And so I think at that point in saying, hey, this is what we're working with on this campus, I'm sure Angie recommended this particular system, but I don't remember exactly how we got there.
All right. I want you to tell me a little bit about now we're getting to start to see some results. So you're kind of implementing this change. Were the changes just in the school environment? Are you seeing community response? What are parents telling you about what they're seeing outside of school?
We made a huge push early on in the process to involve our community. One of the terms that we used regularly in the power team was that Merkel Middle School needed to be rebranded. And so we didn't go through, you know, some formal process for a new logo or anything like that in terms of rebranding, but we tried to really flip the script on what our community was seeing or hearing from us. So we had a block party. We went outside. It was extremely hot in the summer. We invited everyone up. We had hot dogs. We played yard games. And we invited everyone in our community, whether they had students in our campus or not. And we had a fairly decent turnout that first year as we did that. And we just tried to look for opportunities and things like that that we could do to start kicking off this process and having them hear what we were saying to them. And then throughout the time, we also included our community in knowing our expectations and communicating that we were making some changes to our systems at school as well. And so I do think that that carried over into our community.
Are you hearing different things now from people about being at the middle school?
Yes, absolutely. So in terms of staff, one of our, obviously our data of having a 20% increase in retention is exciting for us, but I think even more exciting than that is the fact that our teachers are now going out and recruiting their friends to come and teach with mm-hmm. us here. And so, you know, we were fully staffed in April of this year and never looked back and had other teachers even call and reach out and say, hey, so-and-so told me that this is the place to be. And so throughout that process, I think that that change has happened. And then also on social media, a lot of people will jump on and have our back if someone does post something.
You're seeing staff changes. You're seeing perception changes. Are you seeing disciplinary changes?
We are. Our discipline referrals are one of our greatest changes that we've seen. So our very first year, we had 381 office referrals for the year. We have a campus of about 230 students. We had 381 referrals. This past school year, we had 147. So that's a 61% decrease. Mm-hmm. And the first 6 weeks of this new year that we just started, we had 5 compared to 38 the first year.
A little different there, huh?
So yes, we're seeing a little bit of a change there.
That's a big pat on the back. Absolutely, for you and your team and the kids.
And the kids. They are doing great things. They know the expectations and they're following them. I think it's kudos to our staff and our students.
Mm-hmm.
When you're thinking about where you started, the process that it took to get you where you are today, the work that you've had to put in, the changes that have taken place, couple of questions here but the first part of it is, what keeps you motivated? What do you think keeps the teachers motivated? What keeps the students motivated to keep moving forward with this process?
I think it's the progress monitoring piece. Just like we encourage our students to see their data and want to do better and want to improve, we do the same for our team. Each 6 weeks we meet, we go over data. We have discussion about what's working, what's not. We always end those meetings with, what other concerns do you have? And so we open up that floor. And a lot of times our teachers will bring us concerns that just hadn't really struck itself with either of the administrators mm-hmm. on our campus. And so from some of those, I mean, last year we had, and we were 4 years into this process, our library aide came to us and said, hey, would it be okay if we created some expectations for the library? Okay, we had created expectations for every common area, we thought, and we completely missed the library, but she saw that and then felt comfortable bringing that concern to us and went even further to say, hey, I have some suggestions for that process. And so we were able to take that in front of the power team and fine tune that and make that fit into our system. And so I think really having that ownership for our staff has been huge.
You guys have done a lot to change the culture and the climate and everything to make Merkle Middle School that place where now everyone wants to be, because you said you're getting calls and this is the place to be. And do you have openings? And if you had to give one piece of advice to anybody else in this similar situation, what would that be? What would you, if you could go back and tell yourself this, remember this, this will, what would that be?
It would just be, don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
It's tenacity. So easy to get discouraged. And, you know, I joke, although it's really not a joke, about that survey and the day that I called Angie to come in and sit down and we looked at the survey and I said to her, I think I need to update my resume. And it's really difficult before it gets better. Mm-hmm. And so I would just say, stick with it.
Keep
fighting the good fight.
Yeah. Do the hard stuff. Yes. Don't walk away when you feel like that's probably the best part of it.
Yes.
And partner with your ESC, I heard.
Yes. So we're talking about true behavior change. Where you're at right now did not happen overnight. It was the tenacity. It was the stick with fitness. And it took some time to get there, to build those relationships, to build that trust, to get here now. So one of the things that I'm thinking is, you know, you said, don't give up, stick with it, and expect that it's going to take some time to see real change.
Yes.
And know that it's going to be years and not, we can't see that change in 1 year. Absolutely. So.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. I feel like what you shared is valuable and will be a useful resource to people who hear this and think, hey, I kind of find myself in some of those situations. I could use what Corinne shared to help me to affect change in my district. So we really appreciate you taking the time today to be here on Sped Talk with us. And what we say is, once a Sped Talker, always a Sped Talker.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. And that's a wrap on another enlightening episode of Sped Talk, where every conversation, every story we share is a step closer to a more inclusive and understanding world.
Stay connected with Sped Talk on Facebook, Instagram, X, YouTube, and Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcast episode. Thank you for being part of the Sped Talk family. Stay tuned.